If you're visiting with us, we appreciate your presence so very much. We know that you have many places you could be this morning, but you're here with us, and we're grateful for that. And so we want to thank you for coming our way, and I want to impose upon you, if you can fill out that blue visitor's card right in the back of the pew in front of you, that'll give us a record of your attendance with us, and we're just grateful to have you with us and appreciate you being in our worship. We'll keep Brother Shelton in our prayers this morning as he's away from us. Effort, and so we want to just continue to pray for him and his family that God bring him back to us real soon. As I mentioned in our first service this morning, you know, our hearts are heavy. We know that Brother Herbert Fisher lost his mom, and we'll get more details on that later on, but one of our shepherds, Brother Johnny Rogers, lost his mom yesterday, Sister Rogers from Cedar Crest, and so we just, our hearts are so heavy. This was a wonderful, strong sister. And we had some wonderful moments together, some funny moments. But one of the things that always stood out with me with Sister Rogers is I always told her that I love her name, her first name. And it was a private joke, but because her name is Ollie, and my mother's name was Ollie. And so we had that in common. So every time I saw her, I could just call her Sister Ollie and just remind me of my own mother. So we're just a wonderful, dear sister. Faithful, wonderful lady, just a joy to be around. Tough as nails, but so tender also. You like to see that good combination. You know, many of us have parents like that, tough, but also tender. So some of us get the tough part down pat. It's the tender part that we don't. All right. We have for this last quarter focused in on the idea of making sure we're developing, strengthening this concept of unshakable faith in an immovable God. That we're hoping and praying as ministers of this congregation that this is not just a cliche, a fancy theme for this year, but rather something that we're really focused in on. I see two things here. One, and I think in the right order, we have an immovable God. You and I can get blown all over the place, but it's God that's an unmovable God that we can count on. I remember growing up in Chicago, you go downtown, especially, you know, you find out that they don't call it the Windy City for nothing. So when the breeze is coming off Lake Michigan, as you're walking down the street, you know, those big high rise, you stand on this side of the high rise, and you kind of peek around the corner to see if the wind is blowing. You stood behind that immovable object, the wall of this building, and you can peek around. And you might get blown all over the place, but not as long as you're standing behind this building. That's where we are with our God. He is immovable. The winds can blow. Nobody's going to blow God off the throne. Nobody's going to vote him out. Nobody's going to impeach him. He's immovable. And so for us to tie in to God our faith, that gives us a faith that can't be shaken, a faith that is not going to be a new faith tomorrow. The faith that we have today is only going to be strengthened tomorrow, and we'll be that much more closer to the Lord. One of the things that I did in preparing for the lesson this morning, it just kind of dawned on me earlier that, you know, we're spending a lot of time this quarter talking about checking our roots. And so what I thought about is that, you know, I wonder if there's any correlation with the idea of our root system and the root system for plants. If you remember nothing else of the lesson this morning, if you want to have some insight into our root system so far as the faith is concerned, read a little bit up on the idea of plant root systems or the root systems of trees. There's an interesting correlation between that. What you begin to see is that all the stuff that is really taking place of significance is up under the ground. You and I walk by a plant. You and I walk by each other. And we say, well, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, well, they're looking good. Well, I mean, they got full foliage. There's leaves everywhere. And all of a sudden, tomorrow, we hear that we're going to have their services on Tuesday. Well, it was a joke, but anyway. Somebody so strong, it seems. the foliage is so rich. And then we hear about them walking away from the faith. And so if you really want to know the health of a plant or health of us, you want to look beyond the surface and look down up under the ground. That's where the system is really important. I can say this now, but I'll be judged for this. We have this little plant out in the backyard, a couple of them, in fact. So every day my wife will come and tell me, she says, Ben, the rabbits are eating, I think it's Indian hawthorns, I think. I just appreciate beauty. I don't have it. And so I said, okay. And then so the next day she said, Ben, those rabbits are really eating. Now, I grew up on a farm. You don't want to tell a country boy that we're having trouble with rabbits. Because I'm of the old mindset, you eat rabbits, you know, rabbit stew. You know? But I don't know if you can go hunting for rabbits in the city limits. I don't know if you can do that. And I'm thinking, oh, man, what do you want me to do about that? I mean, do you want me to stand outside with a hammer or something and talk to those rabbits? Two or three days later, you know, those rabbits are really eating those plants. Okay, honey, I'm sorry. I didn't vote for those rabbits to do that, you know. And so finally, I'm thinking, okay, she says, they're dead, they're gone. We just have to get some more when the springtime comes. I said, okay, great. No more talking about these Indian hawthorns that are, you know, it's kind of an appetizer for the rabbits. Then all of a sudden, it's over and done, the plants are dead, they ain't coming back. All of a sudden, a couple of days ago, when spring is coming in, she said, you know what? I think they're coming back. Now, she tells me they're coming back one time. She tells me they're dying about five. Okay, sisters, help some brothers out, okay? Just. What we found out is on the top of the soil, you have the stalks and whatnot that are accessible to the rabbits. But what you don't see is up under the ground is a strong root system. And they're still getting nutrients. They're still getting the sustenance coming in through the root system. Next thing you know, those Indian hawthorns make a miraculous recovery. Not really. Those roots have been strong all along. So when we talk about checking your roots, we're talking about our faith. The connection of our faith, if you will, into God and enable us to be strong even when things are not going right around us. You might have some dandelions or some of those other unwanted plants in your yard. And they have the little foliage and whatnot. And so you go down to the store and you buy some poison and you spray it on that foliage. And all of a sudden they kind of, you know, get a little, you know, discomforted. But 2 days later they are back strong. And then you go down and you get this stuff called Roundup or something like that. Don't even spray it on the plant. Just put it in the dirt. And 2 days later, boy, that you feel sorry for that dandelion. Because they're dead. What happens is that poison doesn't go to the foliage. It goes down to the roots. And the next thing you know, the plant is dead. I think there's an illustration there for us. You know, I might look wind-worn in your presence. But you really don't know who I really am until you check out my root system. You and I don't know who we are. We can, you know, I'm all that on a bag of chips. I can take on everything. It's kind of the way our teenagers feel sometimes, you know. There's nothing that I can't do. If the car says 120 on the speedometer, I can do that between now and the corner because I'm invincible. Many of us look really, really strong. Many of us look really, really tenacious. Many of us look really, really successful. But what comes in is how is your root system? How is your root system? That's what this is all about. And so looking at this plant idea, we even have companies called Roto-Rooter. You know, if you have a problem with those roots, call Roto-Rooter, get in there and dig out them roots, because we know the power of roots and making sure we have a healthy root system. When we began to see the nature of plants, we began to see some significance, the importance of having strong roots and a strong root system. I want to make three observations or three thoughts, three suggestions, three points, if you will, so far as understanding and appreciating the significance, if you will, of our strong roots. Number one, I need to realize in this root, as we check our roots, that's where my sustenance and my nutrients come. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. It is through this root system, if you will, through our faith, that water, nutrients are taken from the soil and transferred into the plant. Look, if you will, from the standpoint that here's God's word over here. Here's God's desire. Here's what God's trying to teach us. And what you and I do in our faith, we tap into that, and the nutrients, the wisdom, the knowledge that comes out of God's word, out of God's desire, that comes into this plant. And you and I can stand now because of the nutrients that's being supplied to us from the word of God. My faith then is going to be determined, and the strength of my faith is going to be determined by how connected my roots are to the word of God. I remember, I've never been good at plants. I mean, so my wife and I were dating, and so she gave me this, it's called a creeping Charlie. I hope that doesn't offend anybody, but that's what they call it. And so I took it back to college, and she broke a piece off of hers and gave it to me. And great, you know, so she said, make sure you water it. Well, you know, for somebody that don't know anything about plants, give them more instructions. So I have this creeping Charlie, and then I did real well. It didn't die too soon, so then she gave me a cactus. And so every morning I got up, and I water those things. I mean, water running down the windowsill. I mean, because she told me to water them. And all of a sudden, I think it was the creeping Charlie was the first to go. It stopped creeping. And she tells me, I call her and I say, honey, this thing is dead. And she said, lift it up. And I said, okay. She said, what do you see? I said, not a whole lot. The roots are gone. Roots are gone. Surely nobody can kill a cactus. Don't give me one for my birthday, okay? Because I can. What's the point? I learned pretty quickly, reluctant learning, learned pretty quickly that the root system is critical. Well, when you buy a new plant, you know, they're in these little boxes. And what I've learned is that it's good for them to be in that tight fit because those roots begin to work and they struggle. And as a result of that, they become healthy. Just like when you and I lift weights or whatever, those muscles begin to be, and then you move it into a little bit larger pot and, because now the roots are beginning to expand. That's a healthy plant. So many times you and I, we have a good Monday, and then we want to go sailing on Tuesday. You don't even swim yet, you know. So this idea of realizing that my faith is tied into the word of God, and so I need to realize that it is from that word that the nutrients and the water and the healthy stuff comes into me, into my life, into my being. So Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith, this unshakable faith, this being able to check the roots of our faith, Paul says, it comes through hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so I need to understand the significance of my roots, and that is, it is through my roots that the word of God begins to provide nutrients. You can tell me all day long, you ain't nothing, but you ain't that and all of that. But if God says, I love you so much that my son died for you, I need to hear that. That sustains me. No matter if the whole world turns its back on me, I know that God cares, and I know that's out of God's word. And so that's a nutrient that I need to receive. That's a sustenance I need to have. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 14. Paul writes, he says, you are still being nourished by milk and not by meat. What that passage tells me, if we're going to have a thriving, healthy root system, I need to realize that it needs to continue to grow. If you have a plant and you're feeding it and you're providing all these things for it, giving it water appropriately, don't you expect it to grow? Don't you expect something to happen is the idea? And Paul is saying to the church there, with the brethren among the Hebrews, and that is, you used to have milk. Babies need milk. They're not going to work up a sweat. But if you're going to start exercising your faith, you're going to have some meat. And as a result of that, it's time for you to move and to grow up and to provide more sustenance for you, again, deeper into the word of the Lord. Roots search for nutrients. Some of us don't realize how bad we might want something until it's kind of dangled in front of us. There's an interesting thing going on. I don't know if you watch the news or whatever, but if you don't, just ask your neighbor what he's talking about. There are some profiles that we're now being hearing that I can get you to take, not me, you understand, but companies can get you to take a personality test. And after that 100-question test, I know your buying patterns. I know if you're conservative, liberal, racist, or whatever the case might be. And so what happens, you take this survey, give it to a certain area, we go back and do the analysis of that survey, and we find out that people that wear blue shirts, silly example, people that wear blue shirts are more prone to buy this particular product. I go now to that manufacturer, if you will, and say, hey, I have some information here that's valuable to you. People in this area will buy your product if they wear blue shirts. And you check that out. You get a blue shirt for Christmas or for your birthday, and you go shopping. You don't have any intention of buying this particular product, but you come home with it. And you don't even know why. Sometimes you and I are in relationships. I don't know why. But maybe it's because I need somewhere in the back of my mind to be told that I'm beautiful, to be told that I'm smart. And so I end up in a very contentious, abusive relationship, and I don't know why. It's because sometimes our roots go someplace when I don't realize that my roots are going that way. You want a problem with your foundation? If you don't water your trees, you know what's going to happen? Those roots are going to go hunting for some water. And typically that moisture is around your foundation. And so the idea is that we have these roots reach out for nutrients. You and I are reaching out for purpose in our lives. You and I are reaching out for meaningful things in our lives. God has it in His Word. But if the Word of God is not available, guess what you and I will do? We'll search out meaning wherever. So we need to appreciate the fact that if we're going to have healthy roots, if we're going to have a healthy root system, we need to realize that that's how we're fed. So don't allow anything to go into your water system that's going to contaminate the growth and the development of your root system. That's why we feed on the Word of God. Does this make sense this morning? So the thought here then, Timothy is written to by Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. The idea that some will not endure sound teaching, sound doctrine. They shall heap to themselves teachers, what? Having itching ears. We want to make sure that our roots are not going to where it's palatable, because that might be danger. We need to go to the place where we're going to get some healthy feeding. That's why we promote Bible class. That's why we do all that we're doing, trying to increase our knowledge of the Word of God so that we can continue to develop healthy root systems and understand the significance of having a healthy root system. But number two, not only do we need to realize that that's where our sustenance comes from, our nutrients come from, but number two, and I think just as important, and that is our stability. Root systems, a healthy root system, will prevent mudslides. If you look in California and other places that have a lot of hills, look at the next mudslide. Typically what comes down the mountain is dirt. Every now and then you might see a tree. But if you have a mountainside that's full of trees, there's not going to be a whole lot of erosion. Why? Because those root systems are stable. They have stability. Some of us will get blown away just with the very thought of rain coming. Worked with Southwestern Bell for many years, and it's so funny. We had a big old office. We had 102 service representatives. And in Texas, we're scared of bad weather. And so we're in downtown Dallas, and all of a sudden, we get word that, hey, one of the services, and this is about 4 o'clock. Everybody gets up at 4:30. So about 4 o'clock, hey, there's snow in Fort Worth. You're talking about maybe a quarter inch. And then all of a sudden, everybody starts, I need to go home. That's where some of us are at the first sign of things coming in challenging us. We throw in the towel. What I find so interesting about that, brethren, a lot of times, especially those of us who have been married a couple of years, is that we look back on those first few years of marriage, and they become the point of glory for us. Now, when we're going through them, there was going uphill both ways to work. But once we get past that, we look back and say, oh, baby, you remember those, you know, we're too poor to pay attention. Wasn't that wonderful? You know, time was so hard, you know, we ate cucumber sandwiches, you know, and we didn't have peanut butter and jelly sandwich. We had peanut and butter, you know. But wasn't that wonderful? That's after we have gone through trials and tribulations. It is those trials and those tribulations that grow in that root system that gives you and me stability. Now, when the wind blows, we won't move. We might teeter back and forth, but the root systems are firm. So the value of our roots is the idea that we provide stability. If you have your Bibles, turn back to Psalm. Fellas said, well, you about through your sermon, by the time you mentioned a passage, but okay, in Psalm chapter, first Psalm, Psalm 1. Blessed, the writer writes, is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brought forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What I see in that passage, this idea of the root system tapping into the nutrients is the stability that this system provides. There is productivity. There is predictability. When the fruit season comes, this tree is going to produce. But it is also profitability. All of these things happen because of the stability of the root system. You and I look at our lives, and if we can just be strong and unmovable in our faith, stuff comes in and stuff goes out, and we're okay. We're okay. This tree is planted by the water. But you see all the fruit and whatnot that's on this tree. Can you see the beautiful leaves that are on this tree? Are the full, like one of those magnolia trees driving out of Memphis, Tennessee, going into Mississippi, the magnolia state. You see all, and roll your window down as you pass, you can hear all of those big, thick leaves just rustling in the wind. It's a wonderful sound. And you think, boy, that is some kind of tree. But if you really want to appreciate that tree, look at the roots. Because it's not about the fruit. It's not about the leaves. They would not be produced until what? The root system. You and I realize the stability of our faith. When the winds are blowing and trials and tribulations are coming, we have stability because we appreciate the value of a good, solid root system. Ephesians 4, verse 14, the Bible says, as Paul wrote right to the Ephesians, no longer tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. That's what an unshakable faith will get you, stability. Folk might be running to the hills, but you and I will be walking a leisure stride because we have stability. And I'm not going to be overwhelmed by who's in the White House or who's in the doghouse. Our faith gives us stability. That doesn't mean we shouldn't vote. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that we shouldn't, if the rain is coming, that you don't roll up your windows. I'm not saying that at all. Roll them up. But the idea is that I'm not going to be deterred, regardless of what's going on out here, because of our root system. And you might have to check your system. You check your roots to make sure you're not above ground, that your roots are going deep into the Word of God. And so our writer continues, if you will. When you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 7, Paul talks about the idea of silly women being led all around. Why are they being led all around? It's because of the instability of their faith. You and I do some strange things when our faith is not stable. We'll say some things. Many of us have had to come back and apologize multiple times because we overreacted. And it's because sometimes our faith is just not stable. If you're going to have a good root system, you need to make sure you have stability in your faith. Last thought, and then the lesson is yours. Not only do we have this idea of making sure that we have the sustenance, that we realize that through our root system we get the substance that feeds us, but also the idea of stability, the value of being stable, if you will. I think if you think about this, just a side point, Christians who have their faith in God, we should be the most stable people around. Everybody else can run to the mountains and run to the hills and say, hey, fall on us. We can't imagine what's going to come down the pike. But as Christians, if we have our root system tapped into the Word of God, there should be some stability among us. We shouldn't be running and so fretful. I think the amount of drugs we take should be minimal compared to the world, but that's not necessarily true. Anyway, third thought here, our sustenance, our stability, but also now our strength. Our strength is what's critical and which is going to be a proof, if you will, of the unshakableness of our faith. A couple of thoughts here. I was up in Alaska, I think first time I went to Alaska, my father-in-law and I were out, and he said something. He said, Ben, he said, and you probably have heard this before, I've told it before, you might not have been here. He said, Ben, up in Alaska, we got bears. Well, and I'm from Texas. I said, well, in Texas, we got bears. He said, we have Kodiak bears. And he took me by J.C. Penney's, and there's a 1,500-pound bear there like that, and I didn't get too close just in case he wasn't quite stuffed. And so, I mean, have you ever seen a bear like that? I mean, his thighs. So I said, okay. I said, maybe we don't have anything like that in Texas. Okay, I grant that. He said, the bears up here, they can hug a tree and pull it up out of the ground. And I'm going, well, that's a bad bear. That's a bad bear. We ain't got nothing like that in Texas. But you know, you read a little bit, and you come to find out that Alaska has a permafrost about 8-10 inches under the surface. So that means then if you got a tree, it goes down about 10 inches and then it goes out. Yeah, a bear can pull that up. I said, you really want to know how tough that bear is? Send him to Texas and let him pull up one of our live oaks. I don't care how strong he is, he's going to get a hernia trying to pull up one of our live oaks. Those feet go down, those roots go down about 50 feet. You know, ain't no permafrost. You know, you might run into a rock, but that's about it. And so the idea of strength, it doesn't mean we're not going to waver, but it means that we're not going to crack. I have stability because my roots are all over the place, but my strength is there also. When the storms come, I might waver, but I'm going to stay steady. I'm going to display my strength. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. But it is all tied back to that unshakable faith that God has called upon you and me to have. He does not want us tossed to and about. He wants us to not strong in our own mind, but strong in the faith is what God is talking about. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 11. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So Paul says, you need to make sure that you realize that part of the strength of our faith is not just one dimensional. I don't just want a sword, because who I'm about to fight might have a bow and arrow. And so you want a shield. You get the idea. So this faith, this unshakable faith, is more than just me quoting scripture. It's living the scripture as well, is the idea. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 8. Paul writes to a young church, a congregation of new converts, and watch the consistency of Paul's message. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 8, he says, for now we live, if ye stand fast, where? In the Lord.
Paul years later will write 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. Listen to what he says to this same church a few years later. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. So Paul says, when I first converted the congregation, established the congregation in Thessalonica, be strong in the faith. Years later, this more mature congregation, Paul says, be strong in the faith. Isn't it wonderful to know that you and I don't have to tap in multiple systems? I don't have to get a drink of water over here and then go over here and get another drink of water for me to be strong in the faith. No, just tap into the word of the Lord. Allow those nutrients, allow that water to come up through our faith and go into our lives. We can be strong and we can be stable and we can be sustained is the idea. A couple of thoughts, then the lesson's yours. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 6. A healthy root system can better support lush leaves, and therefore it's going to be pruned. It's going to be cultivated. What I find so weird about that passage is that God makes a weird statement there. He said, whom the Lord loves, he chasteneth and he scourgeth. I don't know about you, but that sounds kind of painful. Many of us have parents that took that passage literal. And so we got scourged, and we got you know, spanked or disciplined. But you know what's interesting? I was reading up on, about these plants again. That if you go to the nursery, and they'll give you this plant, and you make a choice. What I normally do, I go to the store and I look for the plant that have the greatest foliage. These big old pretty leaves. That's the one I get. Come home, it's dead 2 days later. I'm just telling you my history here, okay? If you give me a plant, make it plastic, okay? I'll probably kill that one too, but anyway. I'm told what they do is that they top off plants. They prune them. They have what they call pre-pruning. They cut this plant back. And now the leaves are kind of somewhat dormant if you look at it on the surface. But what that's causing is the root system to get that much more activated. And so when the leaves finally come up next spring or whenever, it's going to be a healthier plant. Why? Because you pruned it. Now take that knowledge back to Hebrews 12. Many of us are asking God, why are you beating up on me?
Amen.
Why are you taking me through hard times and bad times at the same time? God, I'm doing your will. I'm trying to be faithful to you. Why are you allowing all this to fall into my life?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've had that thought. Maybe you have. James says, count it all joy when you fall into many faceted trials and tribulations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, the pruning of your faith, if you will yield long-suffering. So next time you get ready to go and buy a plant, and you see the gardener out here cutting those plants back and trimming them and whatnot, that might be the one you want to buy. And leave that one with the full foliage for me. I'll buy it. It'll last for 2 days. That's about all I can handle it anyway. So God prunes us. God cuts us back. Not to hurt you, but that your root system will last a lot longer. What a thought. What a thought. So if I'm going to have unshakable faith, I need to realize it needs to be sustained and it's being planted into the Word of God. It needs to have stability. If I can't count on my roots, when everybody else is shifting, I want my roots to stand firm. And also it's going to give me strength. So if one of those big old Kodiak bears come down and hug me and try to pull me up out of the faith, he's going to get a hernia because I'm rooted and grounded in the word of the Lord. Are you here this morning?
Yes.
Are you subject to the invitation of a loving God that loves you beyond measure?
Amen.
Now, you might not want to hear that, but that's good for you to hear. That sustains you. You're worth the death of God Almighty. Well, God can't die. I understand that. But he shed his blood. Well, God doesn't have blood. I understand that, but he still shed it. For you. Now, it's kind of hard for somebody to give you $1 million, and then you say, I'm a worthless person. Well, you might be not as valuable, but you're at least worth $1 million. Every one of us here is worth the precious blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. That's nutrients to our soul. And if you allow him to come into your life, this root system is going to tap in, and you're going to be a lot more stable than you were when you first met him. And then allow those roots to continue to grow and to have density. Next thing you know, boy, you're going to be that tall oak tree. You look around and birds begin to build their nest in your world. Folk will want to gravitate toward you because they are drawn by your strength and your stability. If you hear the wonderful news about how much God loves you. Believe that. Confess the great name of Jesus. Repent of your sins. Go down trusting in him in the water grave of baptism. Allow his precious blood to wash all your sins away. Come up walking in the newness of life, allowing those roots to go deeper and deeper and deeper to a point that they are unshakable because they are built into an unmovable God. If you're subject to heaven's invitation today, in any way, won't you please come over together, stand, sing the song invitation.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love with our roam, farther and farther away. Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling. He's tenderly calling today.